is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill and Fox News, to comment on the economy. The American economy in recovery, question mark. U.S. stocks dip. Why? Retail sales. This is the Wall Street Journal reporting, and I look to Liz to interpret. U.S. retail sales fell 1.1% in July as spending fell across categories. Sales are well above pre-pandemic levels, but spending on goods retreated over the month. Liz, I stop there because we like to spend. We have all that money we saved in 2020. We were roaring spending. Amazon's goods are flying out the door. Was this expected? Is this rationalized in some fashion about used cars? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. I love that used cars has become such a gigantic source of conversation, both in terms of the prices increasing and spurring inflation, and now this is a big problem for retail sales. Let's leave the used car issue behind for a moment and just look at this number, down 1.1% from June retail July retail sales from June. Way worse than expected. People who do such things were forecasting a decline of about 0.3%. So really a big drop. And frankly, it didn't surprise me at all because preceding that report was the report from the University of Michigan showing that consumer sentiment completely collapsed at the end of last month and in the beginning of this month, beginning of August. Hitting, you know, a low level not reached since 2011, one of the worst drops we've seen ever. So those two things are pretty well connected, right? Americans still have tremendous amount of excess savings ready to spend. They still have tremendous increases in their stock portfolios and the value of their homes, both of those things being extremely key to why spending has been on such a tear over the last several months. But guess what? Sentiment, when people get pessimistic, they put their wallets back in their pockets and they say, you know what, we better kind of maybe think about rainy days ahead. We may be thinking about how the economy may be topping out here. What could go wrong? And by the way, it's not just consumer sentiment that took a big fall. Business sentiment also, which has been increasing pretty steadily since the vaccine rollout started, also dipped. And so, you know, you have the makings here of the retrenchment, a retrenchment based on nothing, really, because jobs are still plentiful. Job creation is doing pretty well. But I think the mood of the nation has changed dramatically, really, because of COVID, because of the Delta variant. I mean, we were down to a few thousand cases a day being recorded. Now it's over 200,000. The Delta variant was supposed to rise very sharply and then decline. We haven't yet seen that decline. In fact, we're still on the wrong side of it with deaths and hospitalizations increasing. And I think people feel kind of, frustrated, disappointed, in part because the White House had promised us, Joe Biden, of course, campaigned on solving the virus, that he was going to fix everything. And then as the vaccines rolled out, we were told that, yes, the vaccine is magic. It's going to make this go away. All we need is people to get vaccinated. And then we find out even if you're vaccinated, you can still get sick. And I think the whole communication of that resolution, if you will, or the sort of development of the vaccines and the rollout, all of that was so politicized. It became so not trusted by the American people. And all of a sudden they were confronted with data which indicated it really wasn't trustworthy. We know we had those news headlines about the Democrats fleeing Texas. And on that plane, they were all showing themselves in selfies, having a good time. And all the next thing you know, these fully vaccinated people or people claiming that were sick. And an aide in the White House was sick. And John Rahm, the golfer, got sick. And all these people presumably fully vaccinated. So I think we had a real kind of head fake in terms of the president promising, as he was told, I'm sure, that if you get this vaccine, you will not get COVID. Well, it turns out that's not true. And what should have been the message, and certainly is the message now, is yes, get the vaccine. It'll keep you out of the hospital, it'll keep you from dying, but it's not foolproof. And, you know, it's better than nothing. And I think that's that's kind of where we are right now. America, you know, all hopes had been pinned on going back to work after Labor Day, kids in school after Labor Day. Now everybody's wondering, are offices really going to open on schedule? We've seen some, particularly in the tech world, where they're saying, no, we're not going to do that. Some financial firms have kind of pulled back and said, well, you know, we'll, if you're fully vaccinated, you're welcome back, but you don't have to come back. It's just a, I think this cloud of uncertainty has been with us now for 18 months, John. It's taking a big toll on the American psyche, and not just America, of course, it's around the world. We're all tired of this. We're tired of being told we have to wear masks. We have to stay away from people who are vulnerable and guard our behavior, et cetera. It's just a horrible time we're in. And, of course, Afghanistan has just made it that much worse.
Supply chain. The anecdote from American Shipper is that the supply chain again turns on the container ships stacked up in California, stacked up in the East Coast. I link that back to the anecdote that Ningbo, one of the two large shipping points from China, had COVID report, Delta report, and limiting its ability to load container ships. We've talked about supply chain inflation, and I'm going to move now to the inflation story. Because we've seen prices rise for several months. That was part of the recovery. We were told they were temporary. Now I've seen at least one headline that the Federal Reserve is thinking about changing its timeline to 2022. I don't think that's a bad thing, Liz. Does the market think it's a bad thing for the Federal Reserve to pay attention to supply chain inflation?
Well, I think they have to. I mean, they continue to buy up $120 billion worth of bonds every month, which is really distorting the credit markets and probably a very good reason why the 10-year yield remains so low. You know, a lot of people have sort of fastened on to the 10-year yield as an indicator of inflation, and they're saying, well, obviously inflation isn't going to be a big problem because the 10-year hasn't gone up. In fact, it's gone down over the last couple of months. An awful lot of people are beginning to say, you know, it's possible that this unprecedented increase in the Fed's balance sheet over the last year, $4 trillion, and in addition to $4 trillion increasing in the ECB balance sheet, totally without any historical precedent whatsoever, maybe that is distorting interest rates. Well, yes, it probably is distorting interest rates. It's like money's like any other commodity. If you continue to increase the supply of it, the price goes down, and that's basically what we've seen. So I think the Fed, look, the Fed's mandate is full employment and 2% inflation. Well, inflation now is probably 2.5 times their mandate. It's probably 5 to 6%. And full employment is approachable, or we're approaching that, as far as we know. I mean, we're approaching it in the sense that there are 10 million jobs available. The reason that so many people are still on the sidelines, partly COVID, probably partly because they're getting, by the way, not just the extended unemployment benefits, but also child tax credits, also reprievals on their student loans and rent moratoriums. All those things add up. And an awful lot of people are saying, hey, I don't need to go back to work yet because my rent's okay and I'm not paying off my student loan and, you know, blah, blah, blah. None of that's helping supply, increase the supply of labor. So there are a lot of kind of cross currents, but what I am seeing is whereas you and I talking about inflation 4 or 5 months ago was sort of an outlier concern, now it is a major concern of Americans. One of their top concerns. It's a major concern, I think, of Democrats who are trying to pass more big spending bills because they see in the polling that Americans are connecting the dots between these big, big spending packages and higher prices on everything they're paying. That's why Nancy Pelosi is now having a little problem with the moderate Democrats in the House saying, no, we're not going to necessarily vote for this. We want to vote on the $1 trillion infrastructure bill first. So I think you're just seeing this whole kind of double-barreled concern about inflation and COVID kind of combine to put a top on our growth. And I think the retail sales number is a real red flag. There was also a number report out today on home builder sentiment, which dropped 5 points, which no one saw coming. Why is that? Because home builders can't get the materials they need. And if they get them, they're like 100% higher price than they want to pay. So there's a lot of things going wrong right now. And, you know, the one thing obviously that could make people much more comfortable, much happier, the economy stronger, is to have this darn virus recede. And right now, that's just not happening.
China, the story is non-transparent, but there's anecdote that China is in a slowdown. Is that connected to our slowdown, Liz, or is that coming? Is that in future?
Well, I think it's in the same time. It's contemporaneous, maybe. China, I just saw one economist has lowered its growth rate for China near term because they, too, have been closing down some facilities. And this also was the case on the docks and the shipping because of a COVID outbreak, probably the Delta variant, although, you know, we don't know because China doesn't, as you say, report very honestly. But it does seem like China has some economic speed bumps right now. And boy, the world didn't need that. China was sort of leading us out of this recovery, as they so often have in the last two or three decades. And right now, that, as I say, the momentum there has slowed. How much that is going to impact the United States over the next 6 months to a year probably depends, again, on what happens in terms of their COVID experience. It is notable that some countries, I think New Zealand, has literally closed down with one case of the COVID Delta variant being reported. They're so panicked that this thing just gets out of control again. And Australia, too, is putting in, I believe, draconian shutdown measures, partly because their vaccination rates are so low.
And the military in the streets patrolling in the large cities. Yes, Australia is surprisingly cautious, surprisingly so, given where we are in this country.
Well, I think, again, the vaccination rates are much lower than the United States.
Right.
We are not nearly where we want to be or should be. But, you know, now we're also finding out having everyone vaccinated, it may not be good enough. We may have to have a third shot or increased dosages kind of spewed out across the country. We don't know. And I think that's as much as anything, John. Markets hate uncertainty.
Right.
Consumers hate uncertainty. That's what we got right now.
The moment you said we don't know, I thought that's it. We don't know, and so therefore we hesitate, and that translates immediately
into our
metrics. We're going to turn to what we're witnessing in Kabul and how it may or may not connect with the confidence that Liz's reporting has dipped in the American consumer and the American citizen. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.